Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
Right. Yeah, the comment was, we have things we need to accept, some things that are wrong for us and right for God. That's one way to look at it. But another way to look at it is, the standard isn't really any different for us and God. Because God is supreme. And so the best thing for us to do is trust in God's vengeance. And the best thing for God to do is exactly the same thing. Trust in God's vengeance. Right? The best thing for us to do is honor God. The best thing for God to do is honor God. So in one sense, it's the same standard. Because God is worthy and we're not. Okay. So how do you teach your kids to give with the right motive instead of give just to get what some reward? You make the reward appropriate for the thing that they do, just like God does. It's never wrong to seek rewards that God offers. It's only wrong to demand rewards of your own imagination and in your own timing. So I've often said this, if you give to get, it's not a bad thing. You put money in the offering box and say, God, I'm doing this and I would like a reward. That's not wrong. As long as you're looking to, your reward is God's grace in whatever form. Say, God, I want a reward. If the reward is a new car, great. If the reward is persecution and death in your name, great. Whatever suffering that I'll learn something from, or a great family life, whatever form, whatever you want to give, God, and whatever timing you want to give it, I just trust you. I know you're going to give me something good because you are so good. That honors Him. But if we say, God, this is the reward I want, and this is the day I want it, and this is the form it needs to come in, then what we're doing is we're pointing to that reward as the supreme, and we're just using God as a vending machine to get it. And so we want the same, teach our children the same thing. I tell my children sometimes, if you do this, I'll give you this reward. And then it's perfectly appropriate for them to do it for that reward. Other times, I just say, do this. And I don't say whatever the reward is going to be, but from time to time I'll give them something, some reward for something that they did well. And so that they will learn the principle of just trusting me, you know. And so that's, you know, my feeble attempt to teach them about trusting God. Right. Our society says if you do what Jesus says here, you're an enabler. You're an enabler. Your husband, your boss, somebody's mistreating you and you don't fight back, you're an enabler. Look, Scripture tells us how to deal with sin. If you deal with sin the way the Bible says, you're not guilty of enabling anything. And it says, if somebody sins against you, confront them with it. You know, reprove them for their sins. Show them where they're wrong with a heart that looks for restoration, not revenge. And if they don't respond, you take one or two witnesses and lovingly, gently try to bring them to repentance. If they don't listen to the two or three witnesses, then you take the whole, you tell it to the church. And if they don't listen to the church, you put them out of the fellowship. And that's the process Jesus gave us for dealing with sin. Anything outside of that is wrong. If you do that, if you follow that faithfully, the best you can, then you're not guilty of enabling. God doesn't require us to disable every evil person. Failure to disable someone is not the same as enabling them. So, that's just another kind of psychobabble terms the world's come up with to justify their revenge and their self-love. And so, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a word that we'd do well to just throw aside. Just follow what Scripture says, you don't have to worry about enablement. So. Teresa? Right. Interesting question. Suppose you're maybe not a government official, but you're in your job, you deal with meeting out justice in your work. Somebody is insubordinate or violates the principle in your company, and it's your task to bring discipline. And maybe you need to fire this person according to the rules, But you have compassion on the person as a Christian. You don't want him to lose his job. He's a nice guy and he's got a good heart and whatever, you know. How do you deal with that? How do you balance that? You just need to take into full consideration both the individual and the responsibility you have to the company and your employer and other employees and the culture. If the company has a policy that if you do this, you get fired, then they have that policy, you know, not to be cruel, they have a policy for the sake of the profitability of the whole company. If you do something that undermines the profitability of your company, that's unloving and unfaithfulness towards your employer and towards all the rest of the people who make their living from that company. And so it's not always loving to give the guy a break. And so you need to consider that and weigh it. But if it's one of those situations where, yeah, technically he violated the letter of the law, but really, you know, it's not a situation where the company's really going to suffer if I show mercy here, and I have the latitude to show some mercy, then you go ahead and show mercy. So, you know, it's a case-by-case situation. But just so you understand, to take both loving the person and loving all the other people into consideration when you make that decision. And lawmakers have to do the same thing. It's not always easy to know how harsh a penalty should be, what punishment actually does fit the crime. It's not a cut-and-dried science. It's not black and white. But it's a principle that we need to strive for. Okay, two employees, two peers, one of them slacking. Is it vengeful to go to your boss and report him? Yeah, our culture kind of frowns on that. You're being a snitch. You have loyalty to your comrades, whatever. I kind of think of it the other way. I think the question is it vengeful? It depends on what's in your heart. If you do it because you don't like the guy, you're mad at the guy, you want to get back at the guy, you want him to suffer, or anything like that, then it's vengeful. And it's sin. But it's not automatically vengeful. And if in my case, I feel like if I'm an employee of a company, I owe my loyalty to that company. And when I used to work for Domino's Pizza, I was a delivery driver for Domino's Pizza for many years, and when I did that, I felt like they're paying me money to make this company profitable and successful. And so whatever it took to do that, that was my main concern. That's what they were paying me for. And so I wanted to get the pizzas there on time to the customer. I wanted to be friendly to make the customers have a good experience so that Domino's would be more profitable. And if there were a employee who was harming the company in some way, then I wouldn't have any hesitation to mention that to the manager. How much mercy should be shown to that one? That's for the manager to decide. Okay, if you take the analogy of the court and God's ultimate court, then God shows mercy in His ultimate court. And so is mercy such a bad thing in the law courts? And I would say, yeah, it's not the same. I don't think the analogy can be pressed that far because yes, God as judge is like a court. He's compared to a court in some ways. But in other ways, He's compared to a father and a king and various other things. And so each one of those illustrations has a purpose. And I would say that God has a prerogative to show mercy as judge because he's not only a judge, he's also a father. And there is no human situation that's exactly the same. So we just need to go with what he's instructed. And what he's instructed is mercy has no place in the law courts. Now, there's some place. I mean, if you, again, a judge within the parameters of the law, if you have somebody who they're really repentant and penitent and they don't have a history of any other crime and they just kind of had one little stumble and it seems like there's a very good chance that they're no real threat to society and the law allows some leniency, then the judge should give some leniency. And if it's another one where the guy is just belligerent and unrepentant and the law allows for more harshness, he should give more harshness. So there's some place for that in the law. But I think when it says show no mercy, the point is, look, don't short-circuit the principle of the punishment fitting the crime just because you feel sorry for the guy. That's the point. Right. And the one other thing that I would add is, you know, you mentioned Christ as intercessor. You know, there's no human analogy to that. Because Christ as intercessor, he's not up there interceding for us saying, God, give Daryl a break because after all, he's weak and he's, you know. No, it's not his argument. His argument is, God, give him a break for my sake. For my sake. That's why it works. And that's why God has Christ as an intercessor, because he wants all of his favor to us to be a favor to his Son, so that it glorifies the Son and makes it more certain that we'll get the favor. That's why unbelievers don't get any mercy in God's law court. Just sons and daughters. We're in Christ.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowd-funded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.